Well, it was in 1630 that a Puritan preacher by the name of John Winthrop, while he was aboard the ship bound for the Massachusetts Bay Colony, he preached a sermon that contained the famous phrase, "as a city upon a hill," in which he admonished the soon-to-be colonists of their new capital that sat on a hill of Boston, that it would be a city that would be watched by the world. Now, since that time, the phrase, "as a city upon a hill," has been used by politicians to point to America as being that great nation to which people should look. Now, this phrase originally comes from Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount over here in Matthew 5 and in verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Where it says at the end of the verse, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." But Jesus was using this phrase a lot differently than what John Winthrop and the recent politicians have used it for. He starts off by saying, "You are the light of the world." Now, this is to the disciples, to individuals who are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Just as the above verse points out, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And so we are to be the light as we are to be the salt. And so the emphasis is not on the city, the emphasis is on the individual's character, and the example should be visible. The city upon a hill was an expression of how a Christian is to be as a light to the world. In other words, a city on a hill cannot be hid. It's on a hill. People can see it because it's visible. It is prominent. And so too should we in our examples. And so both as being the salt, as we saw last week, and the light, as we're beginning to be looking at today. And that's what we will be covering in the second split sermon here. Jesus gave his disciples this admonition to be a light to the world. And that's the title, to be a light to the world. The Bible speaks quite a bit about light, beginning from Genesis 1, when God said, "Let there be light." So what exactly is light? I'm not too clear as to the scientificness of it all or the physics of it, but the ancient Greeks actually argued whether light rays were coming from the eye. The light was coming from the eye or the brain, light rays emanating from the eye, or whether it was coming from the object being viewed. So there was a big discussion at that time. Later, theories of light of being waves or even particles. And one of the most prominent figures of physics today is the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. So today, physicists accept the dual nature of light. And in this modern view, they define light as a collection of photons, one or more photons or particles, that propagate through space as electromagnetic waves. So that's very much in summary as a scientific way of looking at light. But where does light come from? Well, we know in our physical world, it mainly is from the sun, that light rules the day, and we have sunlight out there today. But there's more that we're going to look at than just physical light. And that is the light that Jesus Christ is mentioning here. And that is, we are to be a light. Well, what does that mean? In order to be a light, you have to have light. And so where does that spiritual light come from? Well, Jesus gives the answer. We won't turn here, but we will be going to John. So I just want to mention in John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we find out that John writes that Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. Now, we find this explained a little bit further in John 1, verse 4. John 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So in him was life, the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. This man came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light. John the Baptist wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, let's remember verse 9, because we'll reference that again shortly. And so we find that it is Jesus Christ who is that light. Let's look at John 3, verse 19. John 3, verse 19, a few pages over. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be done in God. So again, that the works would be done in God, we are to follow Jesus Christ. We are the sons of the light, as we find over here in John 12. John 12. We're just going through a couple of places here in John to establish the fact that Jesus Christ is the light, that it's different than the darkness, spiritual darkness that is out there. But in John 12, verse 35, Jesus said, a little longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. So we must believe in the light of Jesus Christ and follow it. Chapter 12, let's look at verse 44. Same chapter. He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. So we believe in God. And in verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So again, we see even Jesus Christ saying, I am the light, and if you believe in me, you will not abide, you will not stay in darkness. So that's the point that is being brought out in Matthew 5. We are the light of the world, but that light must come from what Jesus Christ gives to us through the Holy Spirit. And it should be obvious to the world that we're different. Likened to a city on a hill that cannot be hid because it's prominent. And that we abide in light and not in darkness. Now the Apostle John continues with this theme in his epistles. Let's look at 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 5 through verse 7. 1 John 1, verse 5 to 7. This is the message which we have heard from him. We declare to you that God is light. So not only is Jesus light, but God. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We don't practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. So here we find a little bit more that God is light, and we need to avoid darkness, spiritual darkness, but walk in the light. 1 John 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. Now, how did Christ walk? He walked in the light of God. And he gives an example. He gives an example in verse 9. Because some will say, well, okay, we are to walk in the light, and Jesus is the light, so how does that relate to us? How do we find that relevant now? Well, we find an example. Verse 9. He who says that he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and doesn't know where he's going, because darkness has blinded his eyes, because there's no light. There is no light. And so you see that in verse 8 through 9, you see something else in verse 8. At the bottom of verse 8, the true light is already shining. Remember 1 John, the true light? Why is it defined as the true light? It's not just any light. It's the true light. It's important we focus on that for a minute. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we see it here both in John and in 1 John about the true light? Because there is a false light. A false light that masquerades as a true light. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. And I'm sure we're all aware of this particular verse, set of verses, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. No wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Here's the devil, the adversary of God, who transforms himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. There's true light and there's false light. When there's false light, it's basically darkness. Now, these ministers that come in the name of Jesus Christ, they come as speaking for the true light. But what do they teach? What do they teach? We know that God has seen fit to put in the Bible what the true gospel is all about. And it's faithfully recorded in his word. That's why, as we heard earlier, the need to read the Bible, to know what the Bible really says about these aspects. Satan has used his ministers. He's used a false gospel to deceive the whole world. The question we have to ask ourselves, are we in the light of what Jesus Christ revealed, or do we have some cloudiness that's affecting our clarity as to what we really believe and teach? So we have to follow the true light and not falsehood. There was a statement that came out that is found on the web, one website. It said that light is information. When you take away light, you take away information. And I would say the true light gives true information. When you don't have that true information, or you don't have that true light, you don't have true information. And that true information comes from God, from Christ, as they revealed their beliefs. And the beliefs of the Bible are right here in this book for us to follow. If we don't have the true light of Jesus Christ, we live in spiritual darkness. And true information from Christ cannot be seen if we're clouded over with this false light. And Satan does not want us to have an intimate relationship with God. That's why it's important to read his words. He wants us to have a true relationship with him. This is a relationship that Satan can never hope to have. He made a decision to be an adversary against God, and he will never have this relationship that we will be able to have with God. We have it now through the Holy Spirit, but even eventually in the future. Satan spreads out a false light. Jesus Christ and God spread out a true light. We are told to take that information and be a light to the whole world. We got to know the difference. Okay, let's look at Romans 13. Romans 13 in verse 12. Romans 13 in verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, let's put on the armor of light. Now we've gone through the armor of God and all the various aspects of that, but we also now see we are to put on the armor of light. Well, how do we do that? Verse 9 is interesting. It goes through a majority of the Ten Commandments. We live by God's law. In verse 13, this is what we're told to do. Walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness. So we find something else about living in the light. We don't hate our brothers. To get along with our brothers. And we don't get into lewdness or lust or drunkenness, nor in strife and envy. So we find throughout the Bible ways in how we are to live in the true light. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So, let's continue on with some more specifics over here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Because all of us want to know, well, what must I do? How is all this making it relevant for me in my own life? And you find that the Bible gives hints all the way through of how we ought to live. We know we ought to be keeping the commandments, but here we find even a little bit more things here. In verse 8 of Ephesians 5, you once were in darkness. We were unconverted. We were caught up in this world system and until we were called out of that. But now you are the light of the Lord. Because that light came into our lives, and how we walk is important. We walk as children of light, who is Jesus Christ, who came into the world. And then you have this parenthetical phrase here. Verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we know the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians, but also right here. We're to walk in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do we find out what is acceptable to the Lord? It's by reading the words of God. You know, an excellent example with Uzzah. What is acceptable to the Lord? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. And the truth of God makes all things manifest, especially to us and how we ought to live. So this all ties back to what Jesus Christ was saying, as you are to be the light to the world. Now let's look at the next two verses that Jesus wrote, or you know, stated here to the disciples. Let's go back to Matthew 5, and let's look at verse 15. Matthew 5 and verse 15. Nor do they put a light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. This is interesting. First you see, we are to be a light to the world. And there's this example of the city that's on a hill cannot be hidden. That's how we are to be a light to the world. There's something else here. You're to be like a lamp on a lampstand and not under a basket. So it gives light to all who are in the house. The house. The house here means an abode or a dwelling. So not only are we to be a light to the world, we need to be a light in the house. Now that can mean a couple of things. It could mean a light in our own personal homes. What kind of example do we set in our own personal homes? Jesus Christ tells us we're to be avoiding hypocrisy. You know, we're to make sure that we're to be Christian every day, all through the week. How are we in our homes? Are we a light in the home? How about the house of God, which is the church? How are we to one another? You know, years ago, in a very negative way, I heard this phrase, and I'm sure you may have as well. We were accused that all we were doing was blinding each other with our lights. That we weren't really going out and doing things to the world. We were just blinding each other by being good examples to one another. Now, to me, that was negative. It took away from this whole meaning here of being a light to all those who are in the house. But it's both. It is both being an example in our own homes, in the church, and to the world. And then it goes on to say, verse 16, let your light so shine before men. In other words, it should be obvious to others. And, you know, we've mentioned this before that, you know, it isn't so much what we would say. It's by our actions. By our actions and how we live our lives. That they may see your good works. And it clarifies what the light is. Our good works. That they may see our good works. And, of course, that's only possible because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And as we saw in Ephesians, we are to live in goodness and in truth. We also saw to avoid the works of darkness and to walk as Christ walked. Why? And the answer is very clear right there. So that we glorify God. So that you will glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not that we're glorified, not that we're anybody, but God is the one who's glorified. There's a couple of summary statements we can look at. Let's look at a couple of them. Let's begin with Luke 11. Luke 11. And let's look at verse 33. Luke 11, verse 33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand to all those who come in to see the light. So those who come in the house, that they would see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. When your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. So what Christ is saying is, we must make sure that every aspect of our lives reflects God, every aspect. And, you know, verse 34 is not getting into this iridology where people look in somebody's eye and say, oh, well, you got all these health problems. Well, I know I got health problems, but I don't know whether you can see it in my eye. But we're not getting into that. What we're getting into is that if the eye is good, if your whole body is full of light, it's going to shine forth. It's not going to have this darkness to it. Take heed. Take heed that what is in you is not darkness. That is nothing of Satan. That's tough. That's tough because we're being influenced daily on a regular basis of his attitudes. So our body has to be full of light, not part dark, but full of light. When the bright shining of a light lamp gives you light. Let's look at another summary over here in Philippians. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And in verse 15. Philippians 2, verse 15. You know, I really appreciate air conditioning. It's really nice. But when your hands are turning purple and they're freezing, thank you. And everybody else is wearing their coats and everything. So, but anyway, where were we? Philippians 2, verse 15. That do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's what we've been called to do. We're not to be part of the society that gets involved in everything going on in society. In other words, there is a crooked and perverse generation out there. And we have to shine as lights in the world. We as Christians, true Christians, should be looking as lights in the world. So again, we're talking about our responsibilities even now. In this world, as lawlessness occurs, the love of many will wax cold. And we cannot allow lawlessness to enter our lives. We have to continually fight against that, so that the light that comes out is really pure light. Now, a related scripture to this summary is over here in Proverbs 4, verse 18. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. And this will be the last of the summary scriptures we look at before we see something that will happen in the future. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. Now, there's a couple ways we can look at this. You know, as the day proceeds, you know, it's not as bright in the morning as it is like in the afternoon, you know, high noon, in the afternoon, the sun becomes brighter. And so too should we, as the days go by, as the years go by, as our lives progress, we should be making sure our light, the example of Jesus Christ in us, becomes even more brighter. It's a given. We should be brighter today than we were yesterday. Brighter today than we were last year, at least in our examples and approach to life. But there's something else here too, and that is it talks about the perfect day. Now, we all know that only God is perfect, and there's coming a time of a perfect day when Jesus Christ comes and rules, and the kingdom will come. And so as we progress toward the time of Jesus Christ's return, our godly examples must increase, because the perfect day will eventually arrive when Jesus Christ comes. And notice this prophecy over here in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 and in verse 1. Isaiah 60 in verse 1. Arise, shine, your light has come. Now, Jesus Christ came one time, and he was the light of the world. But he's going to come again. He's going to come again as our high priest and king. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And notice verse 3 then. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. In the future, when Jesus Christ returns, he is going to establish the nation of Israel. He's going to be king over all Israel, and he's going to place David as king under himself. And the glory of the Lord is Jesus Christ. It's going to be on the earth. But who's going to be coming and who's going to be looking to Israel? It's all the other nations. And Israel will be living according to the ways of God. I mean, Israel will be governed by God's ways, and Israel will live by the laws of justice. And we see in other places throughout Ezekiel that representatives of nations, their kings, will come to honor Jesus Christ at Jerusalem. They'll all look to Israel as God's model nation. And that'll serve as an example to all others as how they ought to live, because God, or because Jesus Christ will be there. Jesus Christ will be on the earth. They will all look to Jesus Christ, and of course Israel as it's being led by Christ. And then after the millennium, and once the new heavens and new earth are set up, let's look at this astonishing prophecy over here in Revelation 21. Let's look at Revelation 21. Let's look in verse 22. Revelation 21, verse 22. I saw no temple in it. We're talking about the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to the earth, new heavens and new earth. And John is seeing in this vision, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And notice verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So Christ came as the light of the world when he first came. He's coming again as the light of God. And in the future, the Lamb is the light. Christ will be the light here in the temple in New Jerusalem. And the nations of those who are saved will walk in its light, will walk according to the ways of Jesus Christ. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. So there'll be constant acknowledgement as to who is truly the light. And then finally, Revelation 22, verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is what we look forward to. So looking forward to this time, and it begins not by being a city on a hill. That is just like an analogy or a metaphor of what we're to be like. We are to be like God-fearing Christians with right examples. That's how we're to live. And we're not to be hidden. We're to express that example in everywhere, every time, in our homes and in the church, every way we're to do it. So we have to be the bright light of God's way of life into all the world. And we cannot allow ourselves to be compromised by darkness. We need to know what God expects of us and to do it. We cannot allow darkness to affect us and be compromised by it. And the reason we all do this, is that people will glorify God. Not us, but God. That God will be glorified. So let's shine bright as God has called us all to do.